second hour of First Edition, the NWA Sports Report. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to, and I won't. Coming up in the second hour of the show, it's all about the NWA, the NWA Sports Report. With all the usual suspects, we're talking the spring training. I hope they did their research, their homework in that area. Also talking NBA All-Star Weekend coming up. Uncle Perry.
What's up, Yoes?
All right. El Crawfo.
What's up, Perry? What's up, Sean?
What's up, brother?
Dr. Dre.
What's going on, America?
America. It's very cosmopolitan of you, Dre.
Hold on. Why don't you and Ramos don't never say Baltimore, okay?
What's up? Don't say what?
Why y'all don't show my city some love, okay?
What are you talking about right now?
Perry, I'm from here. What are you talking about?
Well, you always say America, you know, and then you like all these other teams. Sometimes I don't get it.
Well, Perry, we do reach beyond Baltimore here.
Let me make something clear, though. Let me make something clear. I'm actually the only legitimate Baltimorean in the whole group. All the rest of y'all from other places
tell.
And
I
other.
I can't tell.
Well, I can, Perry. And if you go over with me into my neighborhood, you would find out real quick where I'm from, Perry. So,
I don't know.
Okay.
You might be from the Bay Area, you know.
That's not true. The Chesapeake Bay Area. That would be about it. But no, I'm actually the only legitimate Baltimorean.
I lived Baltimore 8 years of my adulthood. Like
that's good.
Eight years of my adulthood.
That's good, Perry. That's good.
Wow. Wait a minute. 8 years. Wow.
Dre, you are from here.
From East Baltimore.
East Baltimore. Okay.
That's my town. That's my side.
I'm about to say that's Perry's neck of the woods.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
All right. Where is Ramos? What's her deal?
I'm not sure. She was here. She'll be joining us.
She's coming through?
Mm-hmm.
She's actually coming through? That's why you're not sitting in her chair.
I mean.
That is why you're not sitting in the chair, because you would be sitting right there. So she must be actually coming through.
She is.
That's something. That's interesting.
Hey, you make it seem like I'm scared, Sean.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Dre. I did not say that. Okay. Let's talk some spring training. Baltimore Orioles. All right. Look, first of all, you had assignments. All of y'all had assignments. I'm going to let y'all go first. What do y'all want to talk about as far as baseball is concerned?
Well, hold on. What assignment? Because look.
I sent out an email earlier today, Perry.
Well, I didn't get the email. And
but
I'm not
you are the editor, the sports editor for the Afro-American newspaper, so I would assume that you knew that spring training had started. And so it was a Baltimore Oriole town. Baltimore. Get it, Perry? Baltimore.
Well, I'm always ready to talk about O's, yo.
All right,
look,
good.
Just one point, though, and you would know this probably better than all of us.
Okay.
For some reason, it seems like when you hit that 30-year mark, time flies so fast. I can't believe it's spring training already.
It is spring training.
It's really about to be March.
It is.
2017. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, but I mean, time flies.
Yes.
When you get old, yo. You know.
Yeah,
I know
it does,
you know this,
Perry. It does. You know? It does, Perry.
And now
does.
I'm starting to learn this. But hey, look,
yes.
I'm prepared. I'm hyped about these O's. I think they're gonna do it. They're gonna make the playoffs.
Okay.
They're gonna make the playoffs this year. But they made it. It seems like I would say during the Dan Duquette era, it's every other year for them that they somehow find some success. And I think this year they're going to make it back. It's not going to be every other year because they was able to keep some of those players. They didn't lose a Nelson Cruz this time around. They was able to keep their power hitter, the home run leader. Okay, and they still obviously still have Chris Davis under contract
right
now. It's still plenty of time. I think it's plenty of time. I don't know about you, Yoes, but it's plenty of time to work on that pitching staff.
There is time.
Right?
There is definitely time.
And that's all they really need. You know the offense is together. So all they got to do is just take their time this spring, get the pitching staff together, and they're going to be back in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with your assessment, Perry. I mean, we still have one of the strongest bullpens in the league. The starting pitching obviously has to improve, but I think that they're probably looking to have big years out of Dylan Bundy, number one, and Kevin Gausman, number two, because they kind of didn't get really cranked up until the middle of the season. So if they can get off to
Bundy's years removed from what we want to see from him, it's still a couple years down the road, and then it's still an injury thing. Is he going to get hurt this spring? I don't know. So you can't rely on him. They gotta go get some serious help for that starting spot.
Well, it's not that they can't rely on him. I mean, but they're invested in him, and he began to show signs of the kid that they hoped he would be prior to the Tommy John surgery that he had a few seasons ago. So he still has that electric stuff and that electric arm. I mean,
but how many years did it take Strasburg? How many years has he been in the league?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Crawford, you're a Nationals fan. You probably know. Yeah, he's been here at least since 2010,
2011. Yeah, it was 2000. I believe it was 2011. Strasburg got in, and I think he signed a 7-year deal.
And in last year was the year that he finally broke through. So that's about 5 to 6 years. All right. Now when did we get Bundy, Yokes?
We got him. It was several years ago, and they let him take his time. We got him real young. We let him take his time in the minors, and then he blew out his elbow, and he had to get Tommy John surgery. So that obviously set him back a while. But last year, I think he showed the stuff that they were hoping that he would show. Let me take this time to introduce Ramos, the triumphant return.
Triumphant.
Yeah, people will be asking me about you all the time, y'all.
I'm in my chair.
All the time.
It's not
like,
Dennis.
Where's
it's,
Ramos?
It's,
what's going on with Ramos? Where's
cold.
She at? Doug Colbert, the renowned attorney. Doug Colbert, University of Maryland law professor, legendary character.
Yes.
Said he came here looking for you. He stayed after his segment on First Edition. He wanted to see you. He wanted to hear your voice.
Mr. Colbert, you got to come back. I'm in the chair.
All right.
I'm still in the chair.
All right.
You know, it's nice. It feels cozy. You didn't ruin it, anything by sitting in it, Dre.
Yeah,
and then I had to move you. It's awesome.
It's good to see you,
Perry.
What's up?
Hey.
I'm all right.
El Crawfo is there, too.
Oh, the heat man. El Crawfo, hello.
What's good? What's good?
Good to talk
all
to
right.
you, fellas.
All right.
I don't know how long it's going to last.
Okay.
But good to talk to you.
All right. So yes, Bundy. You know they're looking for big things out of him. They're looking
for
big things out of Kevin Gausman too.
Sean, right? I want to make a correction. Steven Strasburg came with the Nationals in 2010.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I knew it was either one of those years, 10 or 11.
So that's 7 years ago.
And it took him a legit 6 years. And he had the same issues. He had to go through surgeries, and you know, and they always monitor his minutes very closely. And you know, and Bundy's been on restriction. You know, because of injuries, and like you said, we got a tease from him last year, so you want to see him build on that.
Absolutely.
I still think it's a couple years removed from what you really want to see from him. You saw the stuff from him. Okay, he's got the stuff.
Exactly.
So you want to now? You want to see a consistent star?
Absolutely.
We have the potential to be an ace, and I think he does, but he's still a couple years removed from that ace. That we want to see from him.
So ultimately, what you're saying, Uncle Perry, is that we need a stud starter, and I'm in agreement with you. I don't
know.
Well,
this is not a stud. We need more. I would take two or three more consistent pitchers. They don't got to be studs. I would take two or three more Tillman, because Tillman's not a stud.
Okay.
But he's the most consistent starter that the Orioles have. So if they were able to get two or three more guys like that, and like you said, the bullpen is lights out.
Yeah.
So you don't need, you know, you don't need no ace. You don't need two or three or four ace pitchers. You just need three or four very, very consistent starters.
Six or seven innings. Right.
The fourth and fifth guy can be a little shaky, but you can't have four out of the five guys in the rotation shaky and expect your bullpen to come through for you every single game in a 162-game season, that's maddening. So what they got to do is get more consistency to get to the sixth inning to allow, you know, those guys to come in, you know, and if they do that, hey, that's lovely, yo, right?
That is lovely. It is lovely, actually. Because as you said, the offense has remained intact, and there are a lot of Baltimore Orioles fans that are happy about that. You know, so it is what it is. I mean, we picked up Seth Smith. We traded. Who's the cat? The cat we picked up last year. I can't even remember his name, quite frankly. we traded him for Seth Smith, a veteran outfielder who probably is going to platoon out in right field, hoping Kim is going to be able to hold it down in left field, start primarily out there. And, of course, we got the captain, Adam Jones, in center, one of the best defenses in the league, one of the best bullpens in the league, perhaps the best offense in the league. Now we need a couple of starting pitches, and then we could be looking at the World Series.
Well, hey.
Hey,
come on now.
See, when you ask me to talk about Baltimore, and then when I talk about it, you get all trepidatious.
Say the Ravens was going to
But see, I didn't know. See, you talking about Steve's is going too far.
Okay,
you talking about World Series and stuff, jinxing the team.
Well, but this is the point. But the point. Wait a minute.
We haven't even made it to spring.
We've been in the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs. So the point is this: if we got the best defense in the league, right? If we've got one of the best bullpens in the league, right? If we got one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in the league, and if we get starting pitching in order that so that we're going in six or seven innings and are able to turn it over to that great bullpen, why shouldn't we go to the daggone World Series?
But you got to understand, you're jinxing the team, though. You got to understand what you are saying this.
Jinx.
Or at least all right? Jinx.
Let me say it.
Let you say
it. I could say something like that.
Okay. Thank you, Perry. I don't really believe in jinxes. I'm not very superstitious,
well,
Perry.
Well, what's been happening in the last
year?
I don't know. It's got to be something, because every time you say something like that,
all right.
What happens?
I take it back.
It's too late.
It's not too late.
According to Perry,
the season hasn't started yet, so it's not too late.
According to Perry, it's going to be too late.
Oh, Crawford.
They don't like optimistic thinkers. They don't like people that actually ride for their team to say, oh, this is what might happen, or I believe in this. Let them tell it. Every time you say something about your team, you got the Super Bowl every year and the World Series.
Yeah, according to the same person who thinks that the Redskins are going to the Super Bowl
every dang year.
Year
I sit in this chair. I'm going to say the same thing over and over. However, at least I defy my teams. At least I have a definitive action with one.
Right, Dre.
Well, come on, Ramos. Washington Football Club can't go 16-0. We know I don't care what you said.
Just like the Ravens will never be losers, but apparently the last couple of years, what has it been seemed to be reality, brother?
Well,
we wasn't reading.
But I didn't start with you, though.
8-8 is not a loser.
It's mediocre. It's mediocre in a division where you get – it isn't. Excuse me. I've apparently gotten it wrong.
It's not a losing season.
I've gotten it wrong.
No, it's not.
It's not a losing season.
8-8. You're 8-8. What are you – is that above or below 500?
Yeah, hey, that's a lot better than what the Oakland Raiders and the Redskins were.
And Oakland Raiders were Super Bowl bound.
Guess what?
They were Super Bowl bound and went to the playoffs without their main guy. That's what brought them down. So I don't know what you're talking.
They were already locked into a playoff.
Why? Because they've been playing well, you know, and they was winning. I don't even want to do this because the Patriots are now his team, and the Eagles have sucked below standard. And who else?
Here goes another
one. Bring it a man. I'm bringing him in, only my first day back. Ramos.
Now we're not talking about how the Redskins collapsed down the stretch of the season. Are we going to talk about that?
At least we were in contention, brother.
You didn't even know what the
Eagles were going to do from day to day. They were day to day like somebody sitting, waiting to be off the injured reserve. They were day to day. Anywho, Sean, what's next on the agenda here, sir?
Well, actually, I did have a question, though. What is the deal with Matt Wieters? Were the Orioles trying to bring him back?
There were rumors that they wanted to bring him back. I don't understand why. I mean, they picked up this kid Willing and Castillo, who's pretty much same cat offensively as Weed is to a great extent. Defensively, not as much, of course. Weed is one of the best defensive catchers in the league. But the issue is this, more than even Wellington Castillo's presence, is Chance Cisco, who is they're projecting him to be a super stud. I mean, at least offensively, he still has to work on his defensive skills a little bit. But so bringing Wheat back, I didn't understand the logic in it.
Sean, the Nationals have been rumored to be, you know, have some type of interest in him. But
I wouldn't.
I mean, from my understanding is he was injured. He was recently injured, and he's coming back to form now, ready. So now we'll see his market heat up. But yeah, the Nationals were a team that's been linked to him throughout the whole baseball offseason.
I don't think the O's winning him back. At least the fans. I know the fans don't want him back, but I don't think the front office wanted him back either. If the rumors were out there, then I wouldn't put too much legitimacy into him. The dude's always hurt.
Well,
it's
true.
Not like he just came off an injury. He's always coming off an injury.
Well, true.
So,
true.
And, you know, if he's not on the field, doesn't matter how talented he is, he can't do nothing for you. So at this point, you just got to cut ties. And like you said, Yost, they went up, picked up some talent in their position, so they're prepared to move on without him. I think they've been ready to move on without him since last season.
I think you're right.
They were still playing.
I think you're right. I mean, Wheat, his arm strength has diminished after the injury he had and the surgery he had. Still can call a great game. I mean, and he's still a great clubhouse guy. But he is a diminished cat as far as his. I mean, I don't know. He's still accurate in his throws and stuff. But you're right. He's been injured a lot, and that has not helped us on the field at all. And so they're moving on, and they're going to give this kid Chance Cisco every opportunity. Wellington Castillo is kind of an insurance, or rather a transition, for Chance Cisco to really take a real strong opportunity to start next year, I think. But Wellington Castillo is going to be the guy in 2017. That's at least what I'm believing. Brandon, I want to what about the Nats? Because that is your that's your area, right?
Yeah. Well, with the Nationals, they're a little nervous about Scherzer, and he has a knuckle injury that he might not even be. There's reports he might not even be ready for opening season. Also, they lost out on a number of closers, and they're still trying to find a closer to start the season. And so that's going to be something to watch in spring training and to see who can develop as a closer. You know, they let the guy go they traded last year, Mark Melanson. He got a deal somewhere else. And so the Nationals are going to be under, I'm talking about, big-time pressure to win the World Series. I think fans and people around the league are waiting for this team to actually win the championship. But they fell short the last, I think about 3 years, they fell short in three different ways.
They choked.
Yeah, they choked. Pretty choke much, short. I mean, you can call it. You call it what it is. You know, they choked. So I think it's going to be a real intriguing team. They picked up a nice guy, Adam Eaton, in a trade, which I think that's going to be a big boost. So we have to see how Bryce Harper does with the big season. He has to bounce back because last year he had an okay season. It wasn't great as it was the year before, but he needs to return to form. But I think the Nationals are a team that people are tired of waiting for.
They just got to make sure they keep some protection around Harper. I don't think he really had an off season last year. It's just pitchers wasn't going to throw to him as often mm-hmm. as they did in previous years. Not when you come off an MVP season. You know, so if you have an MVP season in 2015, all of 2016, if you don't have guys around you in the lineup where they're going to make sure that there's no choice but for the pitchers to throw to you, then that's the type of stuff he's going to face. He's going to have those type of challenges. And he still overcame them. I don't think he had a bad year at all. I don't think it was okay. I think it was a good year. It didn't look on paper as good as it was the year before,
yeah,
but there was no doubt that he's still, if not, one of the best players in all of baseball.
And Perry, to piggyback off what you said, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people in the baseball world feels that Adam Eaton it was a great pickup, because you have Trey Turner opening up as playing the first slot one, and then you have Eaton playing the two. That's two people that get on a base a lot. They get on base a lot. So it allows team to be a little hesitant about walking Bryce Harper with Daniel Murphy right behind him. So I think, like you said, yeah, this year hopefully they offered up and got enough protection for Bryce Harper to return to form.
All right, I'm very proud of you all, doing your research and preparing yourselves, baseball facts and statistics and information. You did very well. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, all right, this. What do you, is that
a professional? Right.
Well, that's my point. That's my whole point. I mean, you know, I sent a directive and you handled it. I appreciate it. You know that we struggled for a long time with baseball, Perry and Brandon.
Well, we just didn't care for it.
Exactly true. Exactly true. You did not care for it at all. You hate baseball.
But it seems like as you get older, as time speeds up, right. The game of baseball slows down for you, and you can appreciate it a little bit more.
Nice. Good job, Perry. You're becoming the elder statesman of the crew of the young crew.
You're the elder.
I am the absolute. No, I'm the OG of the crew. You're becoming the elder.
You're the colonel. I'm trying to be lieutenant. Lieutenant Dane.
All right. So, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk NBA All-Star Weekend. That means everybody's going to chime in on that. I'm sure they have their opinions. I'm going to ask the question, who is the midseason MVP? That's what I want to know from you all. And then we can start talking about playoffs. Who's going to be in? Who's going out? Blah, blah, blah. That means everybody thinks that, you know, they know what's going to happen already. So we might as well just talk about it. NWA coming back. Stay tuned. Back to the NWA Sports Report on First Edition. Have all the usual suspects. Uncle Perry on the phone. El Crawfo on the phone. Dr. Dre in the studio. As well as the return, the triumphant return of Ramos.
Yeah. Well, that's the best role you've ever did, yo.
Well, I had to come up. I had to come up
I'm
big.
I'm glad
bro.
That you guys have fun with my last
name.
As long as they know who originated it, okay?
Of course, Perry. We don't want to short you. We never want to short you.
You know where Roland Ramos.
You got that from your wife, didn't you, Perry?
Well, you know, I can't help it. I love you. Hey, those are my peoples.
That's good, Perry.
That's
good.
That's my peoples, man.
That's good. All right, let's shift to the NBA. All-Star Weekend. Where's the game played? Where is it this week?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay.
Supposed to be in Charlotte, but New Orleans.
Well, what happened? Why'd they move it? Some political controversy. It was the bathroom thing.
Right.
I remember. Okay, so New Orleans, Louisiana, site of the NBA All-Star Game. I was talking. Go ahead. Chime in.
First, you got to talk about the weekend.
Yes,
talk about the Saturday, which everybody's looking forward to seeing.
Do you guys remember when All Star Game was hosted in Washington D.C.?
I think it was when
Verizon Center first opened up.
No, I think it was
2001.
I think it was still MCI Center.
Because
they had I remember them having the, what's that, that jam at the convention center.
Yeah. Why can't it come back to D.C., you know? I don't understand it. I would love to have it back here. How many years is it? You said 2001? That's 15
2001.
Years,
right?
It will be. I think it will be because, I mean, let's be real, that game the Wizards have, for the first time in a long time, TNT was there. You know, people are finally coming to Wizards games feeling happy about what the Wizards are doing. The Wizards are winning. And now that they're in that top team echelon, I mean, they're number 5 in the power rankings now.
Really?
That's Numero something. Cinco in the power ranking. So now that they're winning, it's going to be bring more rejuvenation back to the city, and people are going to want to come to D.C. again.
Have they already selected next year's city?
They probably won't until. I think they do it at the. I think they select it and tell you where they're going after the. Didn't they tell you during the All Star break where they're going to next year? Because then when they give it away, they say something like, "See you guys next year," and such and such or something like that. I don't know.
Let's talk about the Wizards for a moment. As you said, Ramos, they seem to be gaining in respect around the league. Is that accurate?
I mean, 17-game winning streak. I mean, unfortunately, the Cleveland Cavaliers come in, and the team that made them lose that kind of streak previously made them lose it again. That's a game Cleveland comes in town, the champs come in town, they're supposed to win that handedly. They took the champs to overtime. Should have probably won that game. LeBron goes into overtime. I mean, unfortunately for them, Kevin Love played well. Number three in the Eastern Conference. I mean, nobody expected the Wizards to emerge the way they have. Look at Otto Porter leading the league in threes. I mean, John Wall is, becoming the guy that everybody knew that he could develop into. Bradley, to Scott Brooks' credit, everybody thought Scott Brooks wasn't going to work out, but he was the mastermind in what made Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Now look at what he's doing with Bradley Beal and John Wall. Everybody's healthy. I think Markieff Morris was an awesome pickup. I mean, the Polish Hammer's getting down. I think the Wizards are looking complete.
This team is really surprising. I'm really shocked. Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
I think when it comes to the Wizards, I mean, the most impressive thing is this is not an overly talented roster. I mean, what people don't realize is outside of their starting five, they don't know what they're going to get night in and night out from the bench. I mean, a guy like Trey Burke has stepped up, you know, kind of sporadically through the season. You know, some games he'll have a good game stretch of two or three, string together two or three good games, and then he'll go missing. So I think the Wizards, the fact that John Wall is quietly having an MVP season, I mean, I think now it's getting louder and louder, but people don't realize how great John Wall is playing and Bradley Beal. I mean, Bradley Beal, some people are upset that Carmelo Anthony actually got the last All-Star spot over Bradley Beal due to the injury of Kevin Love. But this Wizards team is playing great basketball, and they're not overly talented. I look for them to make a move actually in the trading deadline over the weekend to actually get some bench help.
I agree with you, Brandon.
I wouldn't make any moves. And let me tell you something right now about Washington.
Yeah.
I think this team, honestly,
has a great chance
of knocking off Cleveland in the playoffs.
Yo, come
now,
on,
look,
man.
I saw the game too.
Let's pump the brakes. What I was getting ready to say is that y'all have a chance to make it at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, but not beat the Cavaliers. Come on.
Let me back that up.
All right, Perry.
What's in that cup, Uncle Perry?
There are terms and conditions, stipulations on that.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Hedge in the back.
No, if Cleveland continues, if LeBron James continues, I shouldn't say Cleveland, if LeBron James continues to coach himself the way he's been coaching himself this year, because I'm not going to put it on
him. He's a playmaker.
Man. But if LeBron continues to play the heavy minute that he's been playing this year,
he won't.
And doesn't wisen up and realize that they don't need the number one seed to continue their streak to the finals. They can go in there with the eighth seed.
Dominate
every team in the playoffs if all of their playmakers are rested and ready to go when it really counts. Now, if he keeps playing 40 minutes a night like an idiot, then his part is
from LeBron's mouth, Perry.
Knock him off.
From LeBron's mouth, Perry, he said that he's not worried about his minutes. He'll rest when he retires.
Well, that's
recent news from
that's the ego speaking of LeBron James. You know, and everybody. Lately, we've really started to see the true colors.
Oh, my God.
Everybody started to see that. You know, he's always played this humble cat. And but lately, he's been showing everybody there's no humble.
That's interesting Perry. Because
there's a new sheriff in town. And, you know, and he let us know it's a new sheriff in town. All right? He calls all the shots, all right? He's not only he's the head coach, the face of the NBA, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's the NBA commissioner. And, you know, so he runs this whole association, all right? And he's putting too much on his back, man. He better be ready to go when it's time to go in the playoffs. Because if he's not, Washington is going to knock them off, man. That team is ready
not
to
a
go.
Chance.
I think Washington needs what a veteran that still can do the job. I mean, look what Paul Pierce was able to do when he came. He kind of sort of put everybody in their places. He settled them. And it kind of, him coming to D.C., I wish he would have never left and went to L.A. I know you want to retire home, but at the same time, it kind of rejuvenated his career. I don't know what kind of late veteran you need at this point in time, because these guys now ain't veterans. They still want to be number ones on squads. But we need somebody that's going to sell everybody, put everybody in place, and make everybody kind of sort of adjust and do what they have to do.
But that's
what, number ones on squads like Carmelo Anthony?
John Wall is the veteran.
If Carmelo Anthony can coexist, and I don't know where Carmelo Anthony could coexist, because he's such a – Carmelo Anthony, as great of a talent as he is a big dichotomy. He can either come into a locker room and it could misplace the placing of how the team already is, or it could stick. I don't think people, most importantly, his bosses understand Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony's not LeBron, and LeBron's in the middle, and LeBron has to make sure everybody else is clicking, and then he has to click. Carmelo Anthony needs guys that maybe it could work. Carmelo Anthony needs guys that he can just come in. They know their own roles. They play in their own position. Well, he could just be what he is, which is a prolific scorer.
One thing I want to say about the Wizards is if they don't make a deal to get at least scoring coming off the bench, they're going to get bounced in the first round. That team is not overly talented. I'm telling you guys that right now.
Kelly Oubre is making a move up. I mean, he's been very significant. I mean, that's been one person that's been very consistent in his bench play. So, I mean, to a degree, Brandon, I get what you're saying, but they wouldn't have gotten this far at all. You're making them sound very mediocre. 17-game winning streak is not mediocre, and you're playing teams that aren't shabby that you're beating.
Well,
so come on.
There's no secret that this is probably the softest stretch of their schedule that they went through. If you look at a lot of the teams that they played over the 17 games, there weren't really any notable wins over there. I mean, they beat teams like Orlando. They beat up on the Pelicans.
But what would you have said if they were losing to these teams? I mean, you would have really been calling them mediocre then, and then you beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. How you beat the Cleveland Cavaliers and then you can't beat?
What I'm saying is NBA is not like the NFL. The NBA, everybody knows the regular season doesn't matter. You got in each conference, you probably have two or three playoff spots that are up for grabs. Everything else is set in stone. So, yeah, beating up Pelicans and the Charlotte Hornets, those are not great feats, because when you get to the NBA playoffs, you're not playing the Pelicans and teams like the Orlando Magic. You're playing good teams, and you have to play them. You have to beat them four out of five.
But it's also a matter of seeding.
Who are they going to be playing in the East? It's not good teams. The all eight teams that make the playoffs in the East aren't good teams, okay?
Well, Perry, I'll give you one. If the season were ended today, they would be playing the Indiana Pacers, and that would be a tough out.
I think they could beat them.
They could beat
Indiana
the Pacers, but the Pacers
beat them in the playoff round. No way.
This team is good enough at least to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, listen. I think people are just getting excited that the Wizards are on a roll. Let me tell you something. The Pacers are going to be no joke when it comes to playoff times. Teams like the Raptors are going to be no joke in playoff times. People are sleeping on Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks are one of the few teams that they're like the Spurs of the East. They don't need a lot of big names. What they're going to do is play their system basketball and be there in the playoffs.
They'll be there and be bounced out.
The Atlanta Hawks are very similar to the Clippers to me. Granted, they don't have the same power that the Clippers do, but at the same time, they've surveyed under the Eastern Conference and kind of sort of been mediocre to a degree to not overly do it like we expect them to do it.
Ramos, they won 60
games. Kyle Korver's gone. You don't have Al Horford. I mean, to what degree do you still buy in Atlanta? There's such a team aspect where you don't even know who's going to take their final shot. And that was the issue with Atlanta last year and a couple years back. Yeah, you got this whole team concept, but Schroeder doesn't want to take the last shot. Who's going
to
take the last shot? Exactly. So you're talking about the Eastern Conference. You're talking about the Wizards as a mediocre team that just happened to get by. I think that's disrespectful.
Come on, Perry. What are you going to say?
Let me say the Wizards, 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, all right, when they had Paul Pierce that year, they were, one game away from making the Eastern Conference Finals. And let me tell you something right now. They would have made it had John Wall not broke his wrist.
Right.
He
broke his wrist. He was playing with a broken wrist. You know, so, I mean, that's not something that you just want to downplay, act like it didn't happen.
So, but Perry, you know, what I'm saying is the Hawks are going to beat them regardless, sir.
No, if he was healthy, they would not have beaten Washington. And I'm tell you something right
and
now.
And look what Indiana
year,
did. They
Atlanta
did all...
is not a factor at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
We got a note from the control room suggesting. Well, it says Carmelo in Boston with a question mark.
If he was going to go to Boston, he would have been in Boston.
It could work, but I think the Clippers would honestly be a better fit.
To be honest, he's not going anywhere. He will stay in New York.
The only way they'll move him, like they will have to trade Isaiah Thomas straight up, and they're not doing that. I mean, that's Yost, you asked who are the first half MVPs. That's my first half MVP right there, Isaiah Thomas. There's only three teams in the Eastern Conference that I think that's actually good teams this year, not all eight. That's going to make the playoffs. That I think is Cleveland, Boston, and Washington. That's it. All the rest of it seems trash, honestly. You know, so and Boston is so good because of Isaiah Thomas, man. That dude is special. So I don't see Melo going there unless they were willing to do a straight up trade, Melo for Isaiah Thomas, little IT.
And
Boston's not going to do that right now because that would just
But you got to understand is that Boston also had What the Boston, the Celtics have right now is the number one pick in the draft. If the Brooklyn Nets remain in the worst record in the NBA and win the lottery, but we all know the Brooklyn Nets are probably going to win the lottery. Boston has Brooklyn's pick, so Boston has a great trade chip, so they can pull off a trade for Carmelo Anthony with keeping Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
So don't downplay that.
If you were a Knicks, would you give up Melo for that first round pick?
Yes.
That's a trade deadline, not knowing what it's going to be yet, because it's a lottery at the end of the day. You can't say Brooklyn's going to get it. No,
man,
you've seen some crazy stuff happen with that lottery. Come on now, keep it real.
I think the team that deserves it
never gets it. It's like one in a million that the team that deserves it ever gets the number one.
But this year's draft class though isn't really that great compared to what's going to happen
next
year. Next year is going to be the real draft class.
No, Dre, you're wrong. This class here is loaded. This is probably one of the greatest draft class when it's all said and done. Probably since 2003.
Both of y'all can't be right. I mean, one said it's going to suck, and the other one said it's going to be one of the greatest ever.
I think next year is going to be a better.
This draft class isn't going to be what it has been since 2003 when Melo and them came in this league.
Melo, yeah, Wade, Bosh, LeBron.
With this draft class, you have at least four or five players that they're saying they are going to be face of the franchise prospects. I mean, now where they pan out, we don't know. But I'm just off projection, and I also think that I think the Knicks definitely want to get Carmelo Anthony out of there. And if it's not, you know, Dolan, it's definitely Phil Jackson that wants him out.
I don't think Carmelo Anthony's not going anywhere. Because look at it this way. They beat the Spurs the other day. Sunday. Whatever the Spurs weren't playing,
The Spurs weren't playing.
But they beat the Spurs. And Carmelo Anthony hit what potentially would be kind of sort of the game-winning shot. You look around the aura of what's going on. Despite what's going on, that man is still playing basketball. Despite his bosses not liking him. I mean, he is Madison Square Garden. He is the city of New York
and the fans.
Ramos, so at the same time, I'm looking at it this way. That spark that's going to leave Madison Square Garden, Spike Lee is going to leave Madison Square Garden once Carmelo Anthony leaves Madison Square Garden. I think we look at the Knicks, we need to stop looking at, and I get Carmelo Anthony not working in the Knicks system anymore. Hell, they can't even make a square at this point in time. They talk about making a triangle.
But Ramos, what you got to understand is the Knicks are now in rebuilding mode. And I know Perry, I mean, not whether
but
they're
that
not
shouldn't
in
be
rebuilding,
because
they want to rebuild.
But why so would you rebuild way, when you have a guy like that? And what you know what
Carmelo
that shows?
Carmelo Anthony and who else, though?
Porzingis
is there, but you have to rebuild at this
I
point.
Understand,
get Melo out of there
I
and
understand,
rebuild
guys,
for a
but
new
what
team.
I'm saying is, Carmelo Anthony has become the scapegoat of every conversation that has been said about the New York Knicks when we really have not looked at the front office and their inability to find anybody that's consistent and contuit to what kind of player he is. They have done nothing to really get the guys around him that they need to get around him, the right guys. I mean, look at that year they were third in the Eastern Conference.
And Mike Woodson was
Chauncey Billups. There was a true point guard that could distribute the ball. They had a defensive presence with guys like But it's just unfortunate that
Tyson Chandler was on the team.
And it was just unfortunate that this has bellowed down to the scapegoat that Carmelo Anthony, one of the biggest stars in the NBA, is the real reason to the Knicks' problems. No, the real reason to the Knicks' problems is not that James Dolan would give away power to Phil Jackson. No, that they're working together and not working together for what is the better greatness of the Knicks' good.
All right, Brandon. Go ahead, Brandon.
And also, Perry, don't forget, the last time the Knicks got a draft pick that high a long time ago with Patrick Ewing, you remember that everybody said that the Knicks messed up the draft, rigged the draft to get the number one pick for Patrick Ewing. So it's nothing for them to do it again. Now,
but see, look, I don't want to start over unless we're going to start over all the way from the top. I don't want Phil Jackson getting another start over. He's had enough chances. So if they're going to start over, you know, I wish we could start over with switching ownership.
You're stuck with your owner, but I think Phil is in his last couple of years.
I don't
want to
start over with Phil. I want to start over with somebody in that front office that knows what he's doing. I think Phil Jackson knows what he's doing. I just don't think Phil Jackson cares enough.
And unfortunately,
put any effort into actually being a good executive. He does it was a bad choice from the start, because it's like, what does he have left to prove? Why is he going to go out there and do anything?
Dolan had to make a splash, because remember, you guys were about to get protested outside of the Garden.
Plus,
it was a mythical thing.
You don't got to make a splash. Just make the right choice.
He had to do something. It's a mythical thing, too.
Everything that Phil Jackson touches turns to gold. I mean, look what happened with the Bulls. Granted, everybody says that he has stars, but listen, he got Michael Jordan, and if you're able to get Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman, who's his own character in his own right, to coexist and it work, You have a sort, your brain is a little bit different. You're kind of sort of a mastermind. At the point that he caught Shaq and Kobe, their stardom could have went two different ways. He caught these guys in points in their career where it worked.
He's not coaching, though.
That's what I'm saying. But
it's a different job.
That's what I'm saying. It's mythical.
He's just not good at it. And, you know, and it's not about making that splash, man, because, look, Washington Football Club, they finally realized making the splash is not what's going to win football.
I'll give you that.
They went out and they got Scott McLuhan, who's somebody that was off the radar. Nobody knew about Scott McLuhan. I knew about him, you know, because I read up on the dude. I knew this dude was a football mastermind that nobody knew about. I mean, he's a scout.
He built the Seahawks.
He built the Seahawks. He built the 49ers as well. That went on those playoff runs and made it
with Patrick Willis,
lost to the Ravens. You know, and nobody knew about him. Even when he was out of football for 2 years because he was an alcoholic, he was scouting for all 32 NFL teams. So that's somebody you go and get off the radar. You don't go and make a splash with somebody like Phil Jackson, who's totally uninterested in actually running the stuff that it takes to run a basketball operation.
I don't think that Phil Jackson is really, you know, people say he doesn't know what he's doing. I think that Phil Jackson actually was waiting for Melo to turn into a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant. And I think now Phil Jackson sees that he's not. He's trying to force Melo out of town. He's trying to turn him into.
He was the man on the team before he got there.
No, but it's different as opposed to like a D Wade who carried his team to a finals, a LeBron James who's been to the finals consistently over the years. He was hoping that he would make it. He would live up to all the people.
But how can I live up to that if you don't give me anything?
Carmelo Anthony has had help in the past, though, and he's never been able to capitalize.
Gallinari was cool.
He's never been able to capitalize over it.
But see, Crawford, that's where Phil Jackson is showing that he's not fit for the job, because you don't wait for somebody at that age and that point in their career to become the next Jordan.
Yeah,
at this point, you got to look at him like I was looking at Carmelo.
He's his own guy.
He could cap his career off maybe as a Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki, man, was on fire in 2010, 2011 and led the Mavericks to a championship. Now, we know he lost in 06 to Dwayne Wade in the finals. And he had so many great all-star years, just like Carmelo Anthony had. Great scorer, but he lacked on defense and all that. He was able to shift his focus to nothing but basketball, and his front office put a legitimate team with legitimate role players around him.
All right.
Phil Jackson didn't take that approach, and that's the reason why the Knicks are suffering.
All right, let's go. Let's we got a few minutes left. Let me get your mid-season MVPs for the NBA. So we'll go around the table. Ramos Lex wants to go first, I think.
I'm going to say this, and I got to dip out.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. Never has been one for James Harden. Always liked the guy. But James Harden and what he's been able to do in a Western Conference with the guys he's been able to do it with, and, I mean, it's been incredible. I understand we got Russell Westbrook over there doing what he's doing, but at the same time, the Thunder should be still winning other games that they're not particularly winning. I mean, James Harden is just doing a darn thing. James Harden.
It's Russell Westbrook or bust over there with
Thank
the Thunder.
No.
I respect James Harden. I respect somebody saying Isaiah Thomas, but it is Russell Westbrook hands down. That team is Russell Westbrook or bust. He's averaging a triple-double every night, explosive, must-see TV. And then he's also, it seemed like he's bringing a rivalry back to the NBA along with the Thunder versus the Golden State Warriors with him and Kevin Durant, especially that game that just happened on Saturday. What a game. To me, it's clear. It's Russell Westbrook.
All right. One vote for Russell Westbrook. El Crawford, what do you think? Who's your MVP, your midseason MVP?
I think it's LeBron James, to be honest.
No, come on, man.
The reason why I say it is because this dude amazes me on how much he keeps adding on to his game. I mean, this year, I don't think people realize how well he's shooting the ball from behind the arc and three-pointers. I mean, I think also, not only when you throw that, there was magic, and he has solid numbers, 25, 7, and 8. I mean, he's consistent. I mean, I know he has a point down from his career high, you know, 26. I'm not career high, but, well, career average is 26. But LeBron James has the Cavaliers on cruise control, and you can see his dominance, and he's still the best player in the league.
Well, I mean, Brandon, the thing is, he's not going to win it every year. I mean, to be honest, LeBron should win it. But, I mean, we're at a point now, it's kind of similar to, like, Peyton Manning winning MVP in the NFL. He's not going to win it, even though he should win
it. Clearly, Perry doesn't think he should win
it. No, how does he deserve it when his team is not even dominating the weak Eastern Conference right now? Didn't they just lose, like, 7 out of 10 games?
You know, sir, they actually won 8 out of the last 10, Perry.
He doesn't have MVP numbers. His team is not keeping up pace with the best team in the NBA, at least record-wise.
They're 39-16, Perry.
Yeah, what's the number one record? There's a couple teams. Two teams that got better.
I mean, the Golden State Warriors, who you screamed that were they're not as good as they were last year. I think they're 47-6, I think, or something like that, somewhere off in that range.
They're not close to that. I'm not going to give him the MVP. Heck no. It goes to Isaiah Thomas, first of all. How many games behind Boston from the Cavs? What, a couple games? You know, they're right up there with that number two seed. He's led his team to the number two seed. His numbers look far better than LeBron James' numbers. All right? You know, so you got to give the numbers and the record to Isaiah Thomas for what he's dealing with, all right? Now, it's probably going to end up going to James Harden when it's all said and done, when the year is over, because his team is going to have a good enough record, and he's going to have a good enough stats. It's not going to go to Russell Westbrook, because his team is going to probably have a 7th or 8th seed. His team is not going to be good enough. They always give it to the best team, the best player on the best team. And his team
Your Isaiah Thomas is averaging 29.9 points a game, 2.7 rebounds and 6.3 assists.
And how many points did LeBron average?
Sir, that's not MVP worthy.
29 points to LeBron James is 25 points. All right? Enough said.
Exactly.
Enough said. So what do you got to say? You know, exactly. LeBron doesn't have the best.
25, 7, and 8, Perry, and then 25, 2, and 6. You tell me.
I'm taking the 29, 2, and 6.
Oh, come on, man. That's all out of hate for LeBron. Knowing good and well LeBron should win it every year.
A 5'8 dude is averaging 29 points in the NBA on a team with the number 2 record. in his particular
Boston
car.
Has very good coaching as well. Boston is a very good team.
No, but the coaching ain't got nothing to do with him going up there and dropping 29 at 5'8". That's all him. You don't give Brad Stevens credit for that. Giving him credit for that. Just like y'all try to give LeBron James all the credit for everything. You know, J.R. Smith can go out there and knock down 10 straight threes, and, oh, man, you see how LeBron is making him so good? And then as soon as J.R. Smith goes 0-for-8, man, you see how he don't got no help. He's got J.R. Smith.
He's a playmaker, Perry. He needs one more. One more.
Oh, I don't hear crap, man. He needs one more. He's the top heavy with three of the best players in the NBA on his team. And you talking about he needs
Isn't
more
Kevin
help?
Love hurt right now?
He's hurt.
So what? You were saying that before Kevin Love got hurt. Didn't he?
That's the only time Perry raised his voice when we talk about LeBron James.
And then this guy then LeBron is playing like double the minutes that he should be playing. Come on, Perry.
His own fault. Nobody told him. And he's averaging 40 minutes a game. And the dude is only scoring 25 points a game.
What is he going to have when it's playoff time?
No, it's not MVP, man. He's not MVP. You guys are ridiculous.
No, you're ridiculous. You're reaching.
On that note.
I'm sick of y'all, man.
On those notes of sickness by Perry, we got to end it there. We're out of time. Thank you, El Crawford. Thank you, Uncle Perry. Thank you, Dr. Dre. Thank you, Ramos. That's it for us. That's it for First Edition. It is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by executive producer Sean Yoes, associate producer Iorio Digizua. Our board operators are Andre Melton and Ty Rice. Our First Edition interns, Kristen West, Janelle Ferguson, and Alex Blanc. Stay tuned for the podcast mashup next, right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I am Sean Yoes. Peace.